This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
Hi, my friend David Morgan is with me here in Puerto Rico, and on the 18th of April, there was a very large gain that silver made, a spike, and we wanted to make an update and talk about that. So this is about the 18th of April, but first, welcome to Puerto Rico, Dave. How are you liking it so far?
I like it, but there's a little construction going on everywhere as the town's getting put back together.
Yeah, as you know, we've had a hurricane recently, and you may hear every once in a while some noise in the background, and it's work being done on the building. But anyway, I've got here a silver chart, and I just wanted to show you this, and Dave and I are going to talk about a couple of things. Some people are calling this a silver breakout. I actually want more time to accumulate more, and the longer this pattern that we're developing goes, the bigger the breakout is going to be. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so what we've got here, if you look at the trend line from the peak back in 2016, we've got just a couple of hits here, but basically it came right up to that trend line and stopped, and that's acting like resistance. Now, it came up a nickel since this chart was created, but it looks like I'm hoping that this advance is over with and that it pulls back because I want to buy a little bit more personally. Any comments on the trend line, David?
I've got a consolidation pattern here in the short term, and I have for my members a breakout point that was achieved here recently. So some of them are in long. Those are the very aggressive accounts. I have what I call the Morgan rule, which is a certain amount of days in a row have to be achieved at a certain price level for you to go long on a leverage basis. That has not been achieved yet. So the conservative people will be waiting and watching this market for another day or two.
Okay, excellent. So we'll move on to the next one. And what I've done here, instead of going from the peak, I have traced out this pennant or wedge pattern where there's several hits on the top and the bottom. And you can see that we've got a little ways to move still before we run into that resistance. So it has not come up to that resistance. And we didn't have the major advance today that David was just talking about. He wants to see an advance of a certain percentage for several days in a row to have a confirmation. And we've not done a breakout of this pattern. And one of the things about this pattern, this is called a coil. It's like a spring being wound up tighter and tighter and tighter, and it builds energy. And the longer that goes and the narrower the range gets, the more likely when it does break out, it's going to make a major move in one direction or the other. Any comments on that?
That's what I said absolutely when you said, ask me if I thought there'd be a substantial breakout. And the answer is yes, because of that pattern. It's been proven historically again and again and again.
Yeah, very reliable. I mean, there are exceptions to everything when you're doing technical analysis, but this is one of the more reliable patterns. One of the things that we were talking about was volume. If we go back to that previous chart, you'll notice on the bottom here, there's these spikes in volume that occur once in a while. And what was your feeling on volume?
Well, price movement doesn't mean that much unless there's volume to back it up. So anytime there's a big move up or down, I want to see volume to confirm it. And what we saw the last few days was a large volume, which means that this move up is probably going to be sustained. Whether or not it gets to the levels that we just talked about will remain to be determined.
Yeah. So I've drawn some vertical lines here and on top of these high volume spikes to see what the price did. And every once in a while, it comes toward the end of a larger price move. And then here, it was at the beginning of a big price drop. But there does tend to be a large move correlated with these lines, except this one is just in the middle of going sideways. So, you know, I'm hoping that like I said, that it comes back down. I want to make another purchase, hopefully in the mid to low 16s. And I do feel there's stuff that's just adding up where I am under the impression, and I may be wrong, don't take anything I say as advice. We're just discussing things here. I'm making purchases for me because of what I believe. And I think that we're going to be seeing silver up in the 30s and possibly higher within the year. I think that this is, I've always said that it's destined for far higher prices. And we're getting to some sort of inflection point, it feels like. What's your opinion on that?
Well, breaking out, as I said, on a short-term basis from this basically channel formation is very, very important. And so that's kind of step one. The volume is there, so that's kind of confirmation. And we've been suppressed. Everyone hates silver. No one likes to talk about it. I mean, we couldn't be at a lower sentiment rating as far as I'm concerned. So whether or not we're going to be in 30 in a year, I don't know. I'm not quite that optimistic. But I think once we get above this level, like it shows on the chart we're looking at, about 17 and a half, on the spot market, and it maintains that for a few days, I think we're on our way. And where does that go? I don't know. I'm looking at maybe 2021 for this year. And then the following year is much more difficult to predict. So we could get to 30 in 2019, I think, fairly easily, if and only if we're able to get into the 20s this year.
Yeah, I feel that within a year from now, that we'd probably be at double this price, potentially higher. It all depends on what happens in the economy, too. Gold and silver are very geopolitically price sensitive. And one of the things that David mentioned was sentiment. And sentiment is so important. And I had forgotten, I wasn't going to mention it in this video. But when I want to buy when everybody else doesn't. And when you look at like the U.S. Mint's coin sales and stuff, I didn't generate any charts on that because I didn't think we'd be, and I didn't generate any charts on sentiment, but it's at an extreme negative right now. Nobody is interested in gold or silver, right?
Exactly. And one of the keys fundamentally is that silver tracks oil quite well. And oil is starting to show strength here. And this is one of those, why is that happening? But it is happening. So there's a lot that are making me more positive. And like you, I like to, you know, the old Rodney Dangerfield, I'm going to date myself, but back on the Caddyshack, you know, with the cell phone before there was such a thing, everybody's buying, sell, everybody's selling, buy. And that's exactly what you want to do.
Okay. And so we'll move along here. This is a much, this chart, all I'm showing here is the increase in volume on this bottom portion of the chart. And this is a 3-year chart, but the following one is a 10-year chart. And you see this tremendous increase in volume that has been happening during this entire bull market. And that has not changed. The direction is still up. There is, even though sentiment is incredibly low, volume is high. What's your take on that?
Well, there's more and more interest institutionally in the silver market, even though you'll hear things to the contrary. This chart proves that it can't be argued. That's a pure look at the amount of open interest or amount of volume over time. And so when the breakout occurred in September 2003, when we got above 555 and finally broke out of that channel formation, we've been up, up, up until 2011 with the correction in 2008 from the financial crisis, but it was a V pattern and quickly came up. Peaked, and we've been basically down and consolidating ever since. If you look at the chart, you can see it's basically been down, 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 down. Got a pretty good run in 2016, and then it's been flat ever since. So as ugly as it's been for those of us that are bullish silver, it's looking at it and knowing what I know about markets in general, not just silver, I'd say that we're at the end, and that coil pattern shows that we're at the end. It's got to make a decision here very shortly to go higher or lower. I think also everything that we know, it's going to go higher.
Yeah, the odds are against it going lower. It's a possibility, but it doesn't look like it to me. Now, you called this bottom in late 2015, right?
Correct. Yeah. And I have to admit, I know I got my haters out there and the trolls, and I have called every top accurately, not every bottom. I looked at the 17-18 spike low that happened a few years ago as the bottom. And I was right for, I think it was 14 months. But 14 months in a day, it got below that. So that proved the low wasn't the low.
Yeah.
Anyway, point being that, yes, December 2000. 2015, I said that's the low for gold and silver. And so far, that is true. And that's been a lot longer than 14 months.
Yeah. And so the last chart is the commitment of traders. And, you know, when I got this chart, I wanted to make a video right away because it's so impressive to me. But the commitment of traders is sort of wearing thin on most people right now because I've been talking about it too much. But here we are again for 4 weeks in a row now, or is this 5 weeks, where the speculative longs are, or the speculative funds are short. And I don't think this has ever happened in the history as far back as the silver charts go and the commitment of traders reports, where there's 5 weeks in a row. There have been a couple of times where there's a tiny short position by the specs, the speculative funds, and the commercials are almost non-existent. The net position of the commercials is only like a couple percent of open interest at this point. We've got open interest down here, and then the net position of the commercials, the blue section, is measured on this percent scale in the background. And so what's your take on this? This is an extraordinary setup that I see when you put all of these things together. And this is the reason for me that I'm, you know, if silver dips back down below 17, I'm going to be making another purchase. I might even do it now, but I just hate chasing a price. I like buying when it's going the opposite direction.
Yeah, everyone in the silver space, I think you're not going to name names, but just everyone that I know has talked about the commitment traders. It's so obvious that it's a really, really good setup. The only concern I have is that usually when you're at these inflection points, and this one's an extreme, you see very low open interest, and we have very high open interest going into this. What does that mean? And the answer is I really don't know, but I'm watching it carefully so far based on the spike that we've seen here. And if it consolidates and continues higher, we're on our way. If it doesn't and it comes back down, it may hit a higher low, which confirms still that we're going to break out of that wedge to the upside.
It's a high open interest, but it's a high open interest with the commercials not really having a net position. If the commercials are still in, they're in both long and short, which means what they're doing is hedging for commercial customers. I'm not sure if the high volume is actually means the same things it would have meant when the commercials had a large net position in one direction or the other.
Yeah, I agree. I'm thinking more on the other side of the speculative funds, that basically when they get to the bottom, the open interest is low because they're running out of money. Now they've spent everything. What if the market starts to go opposite of their short position, which is what we both expect? Where are they going to come up with the money to cover? I mean, I'm kind of laughing and joking, but I'm also fairly serious because they will have to buy back their short positions, which will add a lot of fuel to the fire. So you can make the argument that not only is it extreme COT-wise, and it's extreme money-wise because the trading funds have limited funds. They only put so much in the silver market, and others goes to the soybean market, and some goes to the corn market. So they don't have, like a bank has, infinite printing ability to continue to cover their positions. So this could be very interesting once it breaks away. It'd be interesting to see what the next COT report looks like. I'd love to see how much money has traded hands with this move of that we've had in the last few days.
Yeah, so the red funds, this position down here, if the price starts rising, they get trapped backwards and they're losing cash. For every penny that silver goes up, they're taking a loss. And so they have to cover those positions. And the way you cover is to buy, and buying sends the price higher.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks very much for listening. That's our take on the move that silver made on the 18th of April. We'll see you next time.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.